Chapter 45. Several weeks ago, we started some thoughts about God. With all the Bibles today and all the preaching today, there's still a lot of ignorance about God. There is a God, folks. And He's a real God. He's the true God, as we wound up our message last Sunday. In Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. That's what God says in His Word. And frankly, I believe it. I hope you do. May we bow our hearts before the living God who is looking at our hearts right now. Living God, our Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You that You allowed us to assemble here this morning. Thank You for health and strength and opportunity that You saw that we were wise enough to be in church today, because so many are not that wise. And it grieves You that people don't want to hear Your Word about how much You love them and care for them, and how You want to bless them. Lord, I pray that the gospel will go out today by Your ministers and Bible teachers, and many hearts will be brought to a knowledge of the Savior. Thank You, one day You brought us to Yourself through Christ. Thank You for the salvation that's everlasting. Thank You for the grace of God that would save sinners. Thank You for the blood of Jesus that was spilled to wash us and cleanse us, to make us acceptable. We can't thank You enough. We can't praise You enough. We can't love You enough. But thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we just saw again in the Scriptures, and it says in a number of places that God made this world. And God is an eternal God. Y'all ever think about God as an eternal being? What does that exactly mean? It means that God has always existed. You didn't always exist. Angels never always existed. But now that you do exist, you're going to exist forever. And you can't do anything about it. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? You can't do anything now not to cease to exist. And every one of us in this room and in this world is accountable to the one that created us. We're in His world. And we got to stand before Him, every one of us, one day to be examined as to how we've lived in His world and conducted ourselves. God is self-existence and eternal. God does not depend on anything or anyone for His continual existence. But you do, and I do. We're dependent. Just let the lights go out. See how dependent we are in this modern society in which we live. God is independent. He's not dependent on anything for existence. He don't need anything. And I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but he don't need you. He don't need me. That makes us pretty important, don't it? He exists because of all that is within him and nothing that which is without. God cannot cease to exist because he's an eternal being. He's eternal. If you just think about that, how secure you are as a believer in an eternal God. Because he'll always be, and believers, according to this, will always be safe in him and with him. There's a lot of comfort in that. A lot of excitement in knowing. I'm going to always live, and everything is going to be, in Robeson County talk, hunky-dory. Amen? Everything's going to be just great once we get out of this sin-cursed world and be with the eternal God. In human and angelic thought, there will never be found a deeper mystery than the self-existence of God. Just start thinking about God. Where did he come from? He's always existed. He ain't been nowhere. Amen? God alone knows how he exists, why he has always existed, and why he will exist forever. He alone knows that. In Exodus 3:14, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today. I'm talking about God, my Heavenly Father, and your Heavenly Father if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And by the way, Jesus said, when you pray, call him my Father. Because that's who he is. He's your Father. Moses wrote in Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. He's the always existing one. Psalms 90 and verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is. God will always be. And we had a Sunday school lesson that talked about demonic beings that tried to hinder the work of God, but one day they themselves will be cast into the lake of fire. Helpless to defend their own self because of God. In John 5:26, Jesus said, for as the Father hath life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. Jesus Christ was in the beginning with the Father. In John 1:18, Jesus was in the bosom of God from eternity. Eternity means existence without beginning or end. That's our God. He's the eternal God, our Heavenly Father. How big is God? How big is God? You ever wonder how big God is? In 1 Kings 8:27, but God will indeed dwell on the earth. The Bible tells us he's going to dwell on the earth one day, on the new earth. Behold the heaven, listen to this, behold the heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How much less this house I have built, Solomon said. God is bigger than all creation. Scientists tell us that there are billions and billions of galaxies like this Milky Way we live in. And there's billions of them. God is bigger than all of them. Anywhere anyone could go, when they get there, God's already there waiting on them. There's no place God is not. He's an awesome God. In 1 Kings 8:27, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens of heavens cannot contain thee. That's what the writer of in 8:27 says, Solomon. Let's look at this. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them, in Deuteronomy 33:27. God is our refuge. Think about God. There is no other power greater than God. So we can find safety in God. There's security in God, church. He's our hiding place, a place of security. Revelation 1:8, I'm Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ is the Almighty, who took on a human nature and a human body. But he's the first and the last. God has always existed. He will always exist. God is omnipotent. You know what that means? Omnipotent? It's found in the Bible one time. In Revelation 9 in verse 19 in verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, John wrote, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. At the end of the tribulation time, when all the wicked are being destroyed, God still is. He's going to reign forever, forever, and forever. All of his enemies, both man and angelic, will be destroyed one day. And what a world it's going to be when there's no curse, no evil, no hurt, no disappointments. And that day is on God's calendar because of an omnipotent God. That means his power is unlimited, folks. In Job 5:17, behold, happy is the man which correcteth, is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. God corrects us when we go and do wrong. He chastens us to get our attention that we need to repent of our sin. And we need to live a life that pleases him. And because he's omnipotent, he knows what discipline needs to come into our lives that we might live a life as his children to please him. God is not only omnipotent, that is, his power is unlimited, but God is omniscient. That's another word. It's not in the Bible, but it means that God knows everything. God knew everything before he made the world. He knew what you were thinking right now listening to me. He knows all about every one of us. He's always known about all of us. God has never had to learn anything. He always knew it. He will never forget anything except our sins that'll be washed away by the blood. God is omniscient. You can't hide anything from him. Even not just your thoughts and my thoughts, but why you thought it. He has a right to be called God, doesn't he? He's God. The Bible says in Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret. Thou that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. There's no secrets. God knows everything about everybody, everywhere. And that's why on resurrection morn, God knows everybody that accepted him through Jesus Christ. And every one of them, no matter how many years they've been in a cemetery or a grave, God will raise every one of them up, because he knows them. He knows where they're at. He knows their DNA. And they'll come back to life with their same body, your same body, but glorified and changed to be like his body. The Bible says in Psalms 90:8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee. Our secret sin is in the light of thy countenance. If we have sin unconfessed, God knows it. God knows it. He knows everything. God is omnipresent. That means God is everywhere. As we talked about a while ago, how big is God? He's bigger than creation. God is everywhere. Can a man hide himself in a hiding place so I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens? And the earth, declares the Lord, Jeremiah 23:24. God is everywhere. And that's why, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is exceptionally good news for you. Listen to me. Because you might be going down the highway and you might need to cry out to the Lord, and he's right there to help you. Amen? He's right there. You can't go where he's not. And for us Christians, even but one better. What is that? He lives in us. We're talking about God, the Creator, our Maker. And he is active in our lives every day. He's active in our lives. He's not like the deities say that we talked about last week briefly. The deities say God made the world, but he went off and just left it to run by itself. No, God is still active. God created the world and he sustains it, folks. And he's here just as much today as he's ever been. And he's here in this congregation. And it would be all right for you to just praise him and thank him. God is also sovereign. I've said this many times. One of the greatest truths in the Bible for any person to learn is the sovereignty of God. What is that? Well, that sounds like a 88-cent Bible word, but it means that God controls everything. Everything. There's nothing God doesn't control. He controls it either by allowing it or not allowing it. Our Sunday school lesson today, Look what Daniel was going through. But God was allowing those wicked angels to hinder Daniel's prayer. He may allow the demons to hinder our prayers. God, for some reason, I don't understand, or nobody else understands it. God allows such as that to happen. But we're supposed to keep trusting the Lord, like Daniel did. And we have God's word to encourage us and to instruct us so that we know when we're in these difficult times and situations that we have a God that loves us that we can go to and we can trust and hope in and believe in, and he's going to make a way for us and sustain us because he's God. The psalmist said, 135 and 6, whatever the Lord pleases, he does. You know, there's things I want to do, but I don't get to do it. But God can do anything that's not contrary to his nature. God allows bad things to happen because of the curse that's in this world, folks. But we're headed for a world that won't be a curse one day. Praise the Lord. There is nothing God does not control. That means whether it's in nature or the function of your body. God knows whether we got cancer or other health issues. God knows all about it. God could stop it. But God has already said, Adam, you eat, you're going to die. Death is in our bodies. We're going to die one day. But God determines how long you'll live. He could even stop you from committing suicide. Sometimes he don't. But he could stop if you were going to do it, if he wanted to. In the tribulation time, he's going to let the locusts come out of the bottomless pit, and they're going to torment 5 months. Men so bad for 5 months, they're going to try to kill themselves, and they can't die when they do it. Folks, I'm telling you, God is sovereign. He's in control all the time of all events. A hair won't fall off your head without God's approval. That's how great a God he is. Aren't you glad to know God is like that? That your God is that kind of a God? Aren't you glad of that? That you're not believing in a God that can't defend himself? Or defend me? Hallelujah for a sovereign God. In Romans 8:28, Paul wrote, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you love God, everything's working together for good. It might hurt you. Think about our Lord. Think about our Savior. When he was in Gethsemane and he was in such agony praying that his blood was like drops of sweat popping out on his body, and he was praying, Lord, if there's any other way. But there weren't no other way. And those things happen in our lives. God lets us go through things that we need to go through. We don't like it, but God says you need to go through it. God says you need to go through it. And we may not understand it. There is but one God. There is no one like God. Let me talk about that a minute. There's no one like God. There's no other being like God. Every other being is created by God. To whom then will you liken God? Or with what likeness will you compare with him, Isaiah 40 and verse 18? In Mark 12:32, and the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he." The old Jewish scribe knew that. There's nobody like God. There's a lot of choices in life we can make, but there's only one real God, one true God, and nobody like him. He's so good. God is so good. Nobody loves you like he does. Nobody cares for you like God does. Won't you just praise the Lord? Won't you just praise the Lord? Thank the Lord. Amen. You know what? Old Lucifer wanted to be like God. Boy, he had a long ways to go, don't he? Poor soul, deceived soul. The most beautiful, of all God's angelic creatures, was not satisfied with being the most powerful, given the most authority, and being the most beautiful. He wasn't satisfied. And, you know, we're like that too, aren't we? Yes, sir. We just don't want to be satisfied with where God put us or what God gives us sometime. God is a faithful God. Think about a faithful God. Do you like faithful friends? I like faithful church members, amen? Them to come to church at 10 o'clock in Sunday morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. God said, if you'll accept my... Listen to me, church. Look at me. Look. God said, if you'll accept my son as your Savior, I'm going to take you to heaven. And God will be faithful to do that. Isn't that good? Amen? No matter what you're going through, God said, if you accept my son, I'm going to take you to heaven. Great day. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God is dependable. God is reliable. God is trustworthy. God will do what he says in this book that he'll do. He's an awesome God, folks. You know what? We might want to be faithful, but sometimes we just mess up, don't we? We just fall short, but God is always faithful. Always faithful. God is also something else that this world we live in today can't seem to get hold of. God is holy, folks. God is an awesome, holy God. In Joshua 24:19, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. God is holy. He's so holy, we can't imagine it. Because there is no darkness in him. In Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Here is these four angelic creatures before God's throne in heaven right now, and all they say is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. He's a holy God." There's no kind of sin or blemish that God has. He's holy. He's the Holy One. Psalms 104, "Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment." God is so holy, He's covered with light like a garment. And I said the other day, if you was to, or I was to walk into the presence of God sitting on His throne like we are right now, it would be similar to throwing a can of gas on fire. Would be consumed because we're in sinful bodies. Even though we're saved, these bodies were not built to be in the presence of God, folks. That's why you got to have a new body. Think about that. You got to have a glorified body to go into God's presence. He's holy. He's holy. He's the pure one, the righteous one. And God requires that me and you be holy too. And that's in the Old and in the New Testament. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." As one of God's children, we're supposed to reflect God by living holy lives. God is also jealous. Did you know God is jealous? Are you jealous? Yeah, we are. There's some jealousy proper. But listen to this about God. In Exodus 20, beginning at verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me." I've been reading, in fact, I just finished reading the book of Joshua, and I'm almost through the book of Judges now. And those Israelite people were constantly departing from serving God after He would deliver them and go back to worshiping Baal. And they would get so beat up by their enemies, they finally, after years, would cry to the Lord, and the Lord would send someone to rescue them. They go back to serve God a little while, and then directly, they're right back again. Folks, God is holy. He's jealous. God wants your love. God wants your devotion. God so jealous of you, He don't want you putting your love on some other something that's more important to you than Him. God requires He be the most important thing in your life, or one in your life. And if He's not, it's sin. And it's wrong. No wonder we need a Savior. Amen? No wonder we need a Savior. God is holy. And God is jealous. Joshua 24:19, "And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God." God is jealous for your love and for your devotion. He made you for Himself. He made me for Himself. That's why we're here. And we have been brought up to think, well, this is my life to do like I want to do. And that's the biggest lie that there is. We're put here for God. To do what God wants. And we're missing out on God's best. We really are. You're missing God's best if you're not doing what God wants. Oh, he might want you to be a farmer. Oh, he might want you to be a policeman or a nurse or a doctor or a cook or a housewife. That might be it. But you're and I are supposed to be doing what he wants, not what I want. God is to be feared. That's another sin of this society. Who fears God today? Our society today is filled with people that don't even believe he is. Or they got the wrong concept of him that, well, God loves me so much he wouldn't do anything. They just don't know the God of this book. They just don't know how much time he's given them to repent. They just don't understand that. God is patient. God is, if God hadn't dealt with you now about some sin, he's just waiting before he lowers the boom. And he will lower the boom. He will lower the boom. In Ecclesiastes 13:12, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, the wisdom writer said, and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. We're to live by God's word. And be afraid not to. Are you afraid not to live with this book? These people departing this world while we're in this church had no time for this book. Yet God gave it to for them to have knowledge so they could go to a better place than where they just went. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. We're to fear God. We're not to live afraid of God's going to jump on us. No, it's not that kind of fear. He's talking about we're to be afraid to sin against him, to do what he says not to do. The psalmist said in 66:16, come and hear all ye that fear God. And I will declare what he has done for my soul. You read all these people in the Bible that knew about God, all the writers and other characters in the Bible, main characters in the Bible, how they loved the Lord. How the Lord blessed them and how the Lord used them. That don't mean God's going to make you famous or rich or give you a lot of authority. No. God might not want that for you. But what he does want for you is the best for you. The best for you. God is a just God. Isaiah 45 and 21, tell ye and bring them near ye. Yea, take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else besides me, a just God, a Savior, and there is none besides me. I tell you what, when God sets up his court day to judge us, it won't be like the court down at Lumberton. Or Raleigh, or up in Washington at the Supreme Court. God is a just God. People are going to get exactly what they deserve. Going to get exactly, brother, what you deserve. If you're a Christian, you'll get exactly what you deserve. If you earned any rewards, you're going to get them. If you were unfaithful to the Lord, you're not going to get any rewards. And many Christians, the Bible says, going to be ashamed before Him. Oh, they'll be saved, but ashamed, because they didn't live like they're supposed to live. And the people that wouldn't hear the Word of God, when they stand before Him and all their sins are exposed, God's a just God, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire to be dealt with forever according to their sins and the opportunities they had to be saved and the opportunities they had to hear the Word of God, and they wouldn't take time. All of that will be taken into God's judgment because He's a just God, and then they'll be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. And the word eternity, strangely enough, means forever. I'm just telling y'all the truth of God's word. I'm talking about an awesome God that's holy, that made you for Himself. Took me a long time to find that out. God cannot lie. God is not a man that He should lie, the Bible says. Amen? I used to collect insurance. And there were some people I go to, and every time I go to their house, they didn't call me preacher then, but they'd say, if you'll come back tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I'll have some money. Well, stupid me, I go back at 5 o'clock. They still didn't have no money. They could lie with a straight face. Johnny, I know you meet people like that in your work. But the insurance business was full of it. Run my wheels off. Chasing a dollar. If they'd ever give it, it'd be a dollar. Can you hold it the next week? I'm going to say preacher, I've said it so much. God can't lie. God don't lie. Amen? God is a God of truth. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it's written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying and might overcome when thou art judged. Romans 3:4. God tells the truth. This book is the truth. God's not lying about what's in this book. David said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Amen. And Psalms 116:11. God is a God of order. What do I mean? We come to church, we're supposed to come into this building in an orderly manner to have worship. Just like you're sitting there today. No one's disrupting the service. We're sitting, we're listening to what God has to say. That's the way we're supposed to worship. What good is it going to do if you're not listening? What good? We're not to distract somebody, keep them from hearing the word. People need encouragement. People need comfort. People need instruction. People need God's word. And I've stood and preached funerals, and I've seen the family sitting over there. Their heart's heavy. You go to reading the scriptures, and you just watch the peace and the comfort that comes to people when you start reading that old book. Tell you something about that book, folks. You know what it is? It's God's word. God is a God of order. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33. There's so many churches in our community today. There's so much going on in the churches that's unscriptural. There's not but a few actual Bible churches in this county. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. We've come here today to worship. We didn't come to party. Amen? We've come to hear from God. I can tell you one thing standing here. You need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. And if God was standing here where I'm standing, he'd say, what's here? It's his word. He's telling you and me how to live to get the best life and the most out of life. And then when you stand at the judgment, to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Church services are to be carried out in an orderly manner. Church is a place of worship. We are meeting with God. Amen? We are actually meeting with God. And God ordained all things. 1 Chronicles 17:9. Also, I will ordain a place for my people Israel and will plant them. God chose Israel. He gave them their land. He gave them the Mosaic law. They have disobeyed him just about their complete history. But God is God, and he's determined one day he's going to have the Jewish people in their land serving him, and they will for 1,000 years when Jesus himself comes and sits upon the throne there in Jerusalem. Yeah. And God ordained a church. Since the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and the church came into existence, and the church will be in this world till the rapture takes place. And it'll be the bride of Christ, and we'll ever be with him in the New Jerusalem, our home. God ordained it. It's going to happen. And man can't change it. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom that which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God created everything. We don't understand it all. We'll be learning about God forever when we once get there. And it's going to be exciting. We'll begin to understand. That old song, we'll understand it better by and by. Amen. Amen. God ordained that his son Jesus Christ would come into this world and that he would die upon a cross to save you and me from our sin. God ordained that. God ordained it before he ever made the world because he knew what man would do. We'd be sinners. And Jesus Christ dying on the cross was not something that couldn't be controlled. God ordained it. That was the only way for me to be saved and you. Amen? Amen. God is a God of mystery. Yes. And he's a God of mercy. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenants and his testimonies. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God is rich in mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. His mercy is great, the Bible says. And God delighteth to show mercy. So when you got problems, just take God's word and say, Lord, you said you would give mercy. I need mercy. Plead, give it back to him. He said, I'm a God of mercy. That's what I do. I said, now, Lord, you said you were a God of mercy. And Lord, you said you delighted to show mercy. And Lord, I sure need mercy. That's the way I do. What do? Use his word. Use his word. That's why I'm preaching today. Learn his word. Preach his word. Turn his word back to what he said. Because he's faithful. And he loves you. And our Sunday school lesson, because of Daniel's faithfulness and his trust, God could use him and hear him. Amen? Hey, you ain't no different from Daniel. Oh, yes, you are. Maybe you're not praying like Daniel and me either. Amen? But other than that, we're people like Daniel. That's my point. Use his word. Lord, you said this. God's a God of grace. I could just stand here and preach all this, but I have to keep moving. And Noah found grace. That is not his wife, by the way. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, Genesis 6:8. Noah loved the Lord, served the Lord, preached the word of the Lord, and he got saved in his family when they built that boat God told them to build. For by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the grace of God. We're saved by grace, by believing in Jesus Christ. And there's no other way to be saved. I don't care what anybody else says. It's not true. There's only one way to be saved. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I believe that. I know it's true. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24. We're saved by the grace of God. There's not anything in us that God likes. We're a race of sinners. And when you get saved, you become a new person. And that's the only reason he can accept you. He don't see a thing in the unsaved he likes. Nothing. Nothing they do can get them right with God. Only Jesus can get you right with God. Only Jesus. God is the judge. And you can't change it. One of these days, every one of us and then he's going to say, I know all about you. If you're saved, praise God. But what about that man, that woman? They come and they made the vow. They're made the vow. And God says, I know all about you. I got it right here in this book here. Depart, I never knew you. More people is going to hear of that than any other. I never knew you. See, there ain't no such thing as being saved and losing it. You're either saved forever or you ain't saved. And if you've been saved, you could go to heaven with no rewards. Or you could go to heavens. Well, you know, I've told Mr. Chavis, I'm going to get a wheelbar to follow him around, toot all his rewards, you know. But some of us won't have any rewards. We're not doing anything for the Lord. What are we doing for the Lord, church? I must hasten. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That's Matthew 12:36. That's what Jesus said himself. I'm about done. Just give me one more hour and I'll be done. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Wow. And shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Those that done good are those that believed in Jesus. Those that had done evil failed to believe in Jesus. Boy, won't that be a bad day. In 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. Don't let your sin go with you to the judgment. You can be cleansed today by Jesus' blood. The Bible says when Jesus cleanses us and forgives us, our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. They're cast behind God's back. The Bible says God don't even remember our sins anymore. This is the effect of the blood of Jesus Christ who died in my place and yours. 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. One day every person will stand before the judge to be judged, and you can't get out of it. Can't take a sick day or vacation day or your birthday. You got to stand there by yourself to be judged. How did you live in God's world? How did you use all the things God allowed you to have? We all got to answer. I got to answer for how I preach to you. That's the reason I don't tell many funny stories. I don't have time to tell funny stories. This book is serious. Your soul is serious. You won't see something funny, catch Carol Burnett or something like that. One last thought and I close. God's forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There's nobody going to heaven unless they're blood washed. And we're blood washed by faith in Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes the blood of Christ and applies it to our sin-sick soul. And we're made perfect right then. We're made perfect. We're given a perfect salvation. And now the Bible says we're being kept by the power of God. Praise God, I'm being kept. Not because I'm good. Or I'm holding out. You can't hold out. But he's holding on. He's holding on. Galatians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Through the blood of Jesus, there is forgiveness to all who trust Him. Have you trusted Jesus? He's the only hope. He's the only Savior. God knows what you've done with Jesus, folks. God knows. God knows how you're living today. I can only challenge you. Live for the Lord. You won't ever regret it. Surely you want to hear Him say, when you are brought before Him, you want to hear Him say, above all things, well done. Well done. My good and faithful servant. God, my Father, speak to hearts, deal with hearts. Lord, I've tried to share some things about my Heavenly Father, my God, from the Word of God, to encourage your people, to challenge your people, to enrich your people, to instruct them, and Lord, for your glory. Thank you for the health, the strength, the opportunity you give me to open up this book and stand here today. I'm blessed. I thank you. I love you in Jesus' precious saving name. Amen and amen. Our invitation at this time, I don't know what God's doing in your heart, your life. I don't know your needs. Do you need to come pray for salvation? Do you need to come confess sins that need to be repented of?